If I should ever modify my positions away from what's best for this country in order to pick up support, then I would not deserve to be president. So I don't intend to do it. If a few, or even a large number, of Democrats endorse someone else, that's their business. I'll continue to try to serve the country as best I can and deal with the political question when the election comes along.
I know when you're in your inaugural address, you dedicated your administration to eliminating atomic weapons from the earth.
That's right.
You're on the verge now of making a decision on the MX. I gather its accuracy, it hits within 100 yards, and it's a doubling or tripling of the atomic blast power. That could be a very destabilizing weapon in the strategic arms system, and also make SALT III very difficult to achieve. What's your decision on MX?
The most destabilizing thing that we could have in our strategic relationship with the Soviets would be acknowledged inferiority or a vulnerable strategic deployment of missiles. We have just completed almost 7 years of negotiations with the Soviets to actually reduce the present permitted number of missiles on each side, to put constraints on the number of explosive warheads that could be on each missile, and to limit the improvement in quality of existing missiles. That is a major step toward my ultimate goal, which I believe is one shared by the Soviet Union leaders, of eliminating nuclear weapons from the face of the earth in the future. But while we do have heavy deployments of nuclear weapons by the Soviet Union, although now being constrained more severely than they were before, we must maintain an adequate level of armaments, and we must maintain the security from attack of the armaments we have. So when we do deploy new types of missiles to stay current and to keep our equivalency with the Soviet Union, that, in my opinion, contributes to peace. And this is completely permitted in the SALT II agreement, which we have just negotiated. The agreement on new types of ICBMs is that each side can only have one new ICBM during the life of the treaty. And that was carefully planned in order to provide stability and to stop the enormous buildup which the Soviets have been demonstrating in recent years to catch up with us, since we were originally far ahead. And if we can maintain that rough equivalency with the Soviet Union, maintain an adequate defense, and maintain the security of our own missile systems, that is a major contributing factor to peace. So it is not destabilizing. I think it is stabilizing.
Have you decided on the MX?
Not yet.
Yes, sir. On the Middle East, sir. Is it feasible, in your view, to expect the Palestinians and other Arab nations to join the peace process as long as the United States does not put forward some of its own ideas in greater detail about what autonomy is going to look like on the West Bank and Gaza? In other words, as long as the Israelis are continuing to say there will be no Palestinian homeland, there will be no entity linked or unlinked to Jordan, there will be no Palestinian state, is it not incumbent on the United States again in this peace process to come forward with some ideas of its own in order to encourage the Palestinians to join?
We've never been reticent about putting forward our ideas, both to the Israelis and the Egyptians and to others, about what ought to be done in the West Bank Gaza area. We've never espoused an independent Palestinian state. I think that would be a destabilizing factor there. I believe the next step ought to be the exchange of views during the negotiations between Israel and Egypt. We will observe the different proposals that are inevitably going to be made. Some of them have been described publicly. Then later on, after the negotiations proceed as far as they can do with any degree of momentum, we will reserve the right, requested, I might say, by both Israel and Egypt, to put forward United States proposals to break a deadlock or to provide a compromise solution. We have been involved in that kind of process both at Camp David and when I went to the Middle East. I think that's one of the reasons that we've been as successful as we have so far. But for us to preempt the negotiations by putting forward, to begin with, an American proposal, I think would be counterproductive, and it would remove some of the reasonable responsibility that ought to be directly on the shoulders of Prime Minister Begin and his government and President Sadat and his government. I might say that this past weekend I talked personally to President Sadat and to Prime Minister Begin, and this morning to Secretary Vance, and they were all very pleased and very excited, not only at the progress made in El Arish and Beersheba, but also at the attitude on both sides toward a constructive resolution of these very difficult issues. So at this point, I feel very hopeful that both sides are negotiating in good faith. We'll be there to help them when they need our help.
Mr. President, last week an Atlanta grand jury indicted your former budget director and friend, Mr. Lance, on criminal charges. I'm aware of the fact that the courts have enjoined discussion of this case, and I won't ask you to do that, sir. But in view of the confidence and friendship you have expressed publicly for Mr. Lance, I wondered if you could share with us your reaction to the indictment and your feeling about Mr. Lance at this time as a person.
Bert Lance is still my friend. I don't see any benefit to be derived from my commenting on the actions that are presently underway within the legal system of our country.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.